Thank you so very much for that song this morning. Thank you for the investment by so many there to make that possible. I appreciate all the work that goes in to make these songs and specials possible for us in the services. Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it's our pattern for the new year to have a theme for the year. And by all means, it was appropriate last year for the theme and the consideration of the matter from Habakkuk. And though there be so many trials and there be so many difficulties that we face, yet I will rejoice. And I do pray that that is your heart and that that is your desire, that you'll rejoice in the Lord always. As the Apostle Paul said, and again I say, rejoice. This morning we transition into the new year. And we were a live stream only service last week, so I preached one portion of a message last Sunday morning, and several commented to me that that could have been our theme for this year. And I said, well, I'd already thought of this other one, and we'd already put that in our minds and thoughts and so forth, but we looked at the passage there from Luke chapter 18 that men ought always to pray and not to faint, and by all means that is cause for us to be mindful in this coming year. We have much to pray for, and there are many things on deck, many things to take before the Lord. But our theme for the coming year is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I want you to look at this passage with me and then do a little bit of traveling in the Word of God this morning. We don't often look through a variety of different passages, but I believe it's helpful for us as we consider the theme for this coming year. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I begin reading in verse number 1. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. I want to deal with the issue this coming year, and we'll have this familiar refrain in both our banners and our bulletin and our announcements and our missions conferences. The vessels for the Master's use. Vessels for the Master's use. Would you look down at verse number 4 again and just look at that verse and consider it again, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. I pray that we will be vessels fit for the Master's use. As a youngster growing up here, in the academy and watching different individuals that would come and speak in our chapel services. One of those individuals that spoke in our chapel at different times was my own dad. And he was the administrator of the school for about the first 5 years. And so he continued to speak in chapel. And about every year in elementary chapel, he had a unique chapel message that he preached for the elementary students. And he would bring up two cups, styrofoam cups. He'd bring them up onto the platform or the pulpit there, and he'd ask the kids if they would like to have a drink out of one of those cups. And I can see this as though it was yesterday. It was his most favored illustration, and kids all want to raise their hands and volunteer. If I ask the kids in chapel, will you do this or that, they'll raise their hands and volunteer. If I leave a class out and I haven't had any class members volunteer from that age group, they'll let me know, and they'll say, Pastor, you haven't called on anyone from the fifth grade in 3 weeks. And so they'll make sure that I know that someone needs to be called upon. But Dad would call on somebody and say, hey, come on up here, and I want you to drink out of these two cups. And what they didn't know, that unsuspecting youngster, what they didn't know was that in the inside, he had covered the inside with muddy dirt. And so he'd ask them, now they couldn't see the inside, but he'd ask them, he said, now which one do you want to drink from? And he'd have a pitcher of water or something like that, and they would pick. And so he'd take that pitcher of water and pour it into one, and then they'd look down at it and they'd be like, that's disgusting. I'm not drinking out of that cup. Why? It's a bad vessel. And that illustration stands out to me so well. And I want us to be mindful that in this day and age, here in the United States of America and around the world, our society is in desperate need of vessels that are fit for the Master's use. And I know that we often talk about the way that our bodies are used and utilized and everything like this. We only have them for a short period of time. And we have been given this tabernacle, and it begins on one day, and it will end on another day. But the question is, how will we use that vessel for the time that we have here on this earth? In our days, in my days of ministry, I've been in funerals and services where I've stood before an individual or the body of an individual that did not live a life that was of the Lord. I remember receiving a phone call from one of my single adults in our church in Tennessee, and he called me and said, Pastor, my dad passed away tragically in the overnight hours, and they've just recently found his body. Would you be willing to do the services for his funeral? He lived a very hard life. It was not a very well-planned use of the vessel that God had given to him. There have been others that I've stood before their services, and I can speak of so many different things as to the way that they use the vessel that God had given to them to be a clean vessel, to be a utilized vessel for the Lord's use. Now let me ask you, you've got one life. You've got one tabernacle. You have one vessel. If I were asking you this morning about that vessel, what would you say about that vessel? Would it be described by what is given here in verse number 4? Are you possessing or using your vessel unto sanctification and honor? I want to walk through three simple things. These are not hard things to find in the Word of God, but I believe that they are very telling things about the use of our vessel. So if you travel with me a little bit in the Word of God, let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9, if you'll travel there with me. Acts chapter 9, we find the story of a man by the name of Saul. Saul hates the things of God. Now, he was religious, but he hated the things of God. He hated the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse number 1, the Bible says that Saul was yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. At this point in time, he's a religious vessel, but he's not a vessel being used by Almighty God. And on this road to Damascus, the Bible says that God strikes him down with a bright light, and Saul asks two questions. You see it right here in the verses. If you have a red-lettered edition of the Bible, you'll see what the Lord says there in the red letters. The Bible says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he, speaking of Saul, said, verse number 5, who art thou, Lord? My friend, understand, that's the very first question for everyone to ask. If you do not yet know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, then today is the day for you to meet the Lord. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was born into this world that he might save us from our sins. What is sin? Sin is anything that I say, do, or think that displeases a holy God. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ came into this world to save you and me from our sins. You see, up to this point, Saul had all the head knowledge that there could be on the matters of God in the Old Testament. But he didn't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. The Bible says that for me to be saved, I must repent of my sins and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for my eternal life. In other passages of Scripture, the Apostle Paul details his resume of religion. And yet that resume would leave him short of entrance into heaven.
Why? Because the Apostle Paul did not yet know the sins, that sins could be forgiven at Calvary. And the Bible says that there is only one way to heaven, and that is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first question that Saul asked is, "Who art thou, Lord?" Do you know this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you, that He died for you, and that He wants to save you from your sins for all eternity? You see, the Bible says that it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it is according to His mercy that He saves us. The second question that comes from Saul, the Bible says, first of all, "Who art thou, Lord?" That's a question of salvation. But then he says in the second question, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That is a question of service. "Okay, Lord, in light of what you have done for me in dying on the cross of Calvary and shedding your blood for my sins for all eternity, in light of all that you've done, it's not what I can do, it's all what you have done. In light of what you have done, what can I do for you in return?" Well, the Bible says that he leaves this period of time, and for 3 days he was without sight. And I want you to pick up the reading with me now in verse number 10. The Apostle Paul is asked the most important questions, the question of salvation, the question of service, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Verse number 10, will you pick up the story with me now? "And there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Behold, I am here, Lord.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints of Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized." What a transformation. Saul went to destroy everyone that claimed the name of Christ. But Saul walked away from that road to Damascus as a chosen vessel. That's the first thing for all of us to understand this morning, is that we are chosen vessels. Boy, it's interesting, because the Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth that God has not chosen many wise. He has not chosen the strong. He has not chosen the wealthy. He's chosen us to be His servants. Do you ever remember playing sports? And they select two captains, and the two captains begin choosing up their teams. Well, you never wanted to be last. Okay, we'll take Fred. Okay, we'll take Sally. We're going to play a game of kickball. I guess we'll take Bob. We're going to play a game of kickball. Okay, all right. This is the last one. We'll take her. You know, in truth, the Bible tells us that in Christ we are chosen vessels. Chosen vessels. I didn't deserve it, but God looked down and He chose me. You didn't deserve it, but God looked down and He chose you. The Creator of this world knows the very hairs of our head. He knows everything that there is to know about us. And He loved us so much. And He says here to Saul, again, his name is changed, and we know him more as Paul. But we find here in the passage that every dynamic of this story is laid out that Saul might know God and that Saul might understand that he was a chosen vessel. Understand with me that the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, the Bible says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people." Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Paul said to the church at Philippi, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." There was a specific mark that had been set as he had been chosen. And it's interesting, in the end of his life, 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse number 7, the Apostle Paul declared, "I have finished my course." God chose you. God chose me. We are, number one, chosen vessels. Would you notice the second thing with me this morning and turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Not only are we chosen vessels, and we see that laid out in the life of the Apostle Paul, he goes from being lost in his own sins and being filled with religion to having a place in the family of God. And God declares that he is a chosen vessel. 2 Timothy chapter 2, would you look at verse number 19? The second part of this matter of being a vessel for God, not only are we chosen as that peculiar people or that royal priesthood, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 12, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not," listen, I have the wrong passage. I am so sorry that I gave you the wrong section. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong verses. There it is. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. I was reading the wrong verses. All right, here we go. Verse number 19. You were probably already reading that and then saying, why is he not reading what I'm looking at? "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth him, them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Number one, chosen vessels. Chosen by Almighty God for a specific purpose. Do you know that's the great issue for society today, that there are so many that believe that they're a product of chance and not here as the direct result of a special creator? They got here by chance, they lived their life by chance, and then they think they're going to go into the world or into eternity and it's just all going to be done. And whatever they've done with this life will be finished and there'll be no repercussions. No, my friend, you're the direct act of a special designer, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a chosen vessel. But the Bible says, number two, that we ought to be clean vessels. Clean vessels. Did you see the end of verse number 19? "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Now let's understand this morning, because as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I know this. I will never be sinless this side of heaven. Pastor, you're a man of the cloth. We have great expectations for you, and we expect that you'll never sin from this day forward. Folks, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Because I'm not sinless. Yes, I accepted Jesus as my Savior many years ago. I understood that I was a chosen vessel, and I received His forgiveness of sins. But I'm not sinless. But as I've grown in the Lord Jesus Christ, I ought to sin less than I did so many years ago. Early on, my parents worked on my heart and worked on my life. In fact, I got to tell you this. I'll bear this before you today and don't want the kids to duplicate this, but we had a recent service for a gentleman that had gone home to be with the Lord, Brother Norm Dodge, and one of the husbands and wives that were here for that service was the Edmondsons. Brother Edmondson was the supervisor of our academy room and so forth at that time. And Brother Jim McCrary walked by him and said to Brother Edmondson, "Go ahead and tell me some stories about Todd when he was a little kid." And I said, "He's forgotten all of those." And Brother McCrary walked away, and then Brother Edmondson looked at me. He said, "You know, I remember that time." I'm like, there was a time where I was over at the Edmondson's house, and I was probably 11 years old. And for whatever reason, I still to this day, I can't believe I did this. I will plead. I don't know what I plead. I was guilty, but I plead. But I'm walking around the supervisor of our Christian school class singing a beer commercial. And Mr. Edmondson said to me after the funeral service, he said, "You know, I remember that time when you were singing that beer commercial at my house." And I'm like, "Yes, why did I do that?" I don't think I had a fascination with beer at the time. And I certainly don't think that was probably an appropriate song at any occasion, but especially not at my supervisor's house. Well, he told my dad, "You know what? I've never sung a beer commercial since." Oh, there's a time in my young life where I took a pack of M&Ms, and my mom addressed that. Yeah, I've never stolen M&Ms since then. You see, there's still sin in my life. There's still things in my life that are not pleasing the Lord. There, I need to be more faithful in this area, and I need to do this less or that, or and allow God's convicting work to continue in my life. I'm not sinless. But because God is actively at work, I ought to be more of a vessel that reflects the Lord Jesus Christ with every passing day. I ought to be a clean vessel. It goes back to the illustration that my dad used in chapel. When you're looking through the cupboard and you're going to pull out a glass and you think everything has gone through the dishwasher, have you ever had that time with the dishwasher where you're not positive if it's clean or not clean? And so you put the dishes away and the last one you pull out of the dishwasher is filthy. And someone says, "Oh yes, I hadn't run that yet. I got all these dishes that I put away. I've got all these cups I put away. Which ones am I now going to put back in the dishwasher and allow the redo?" Well, you pull that cup out and you're like, "Ooh, that's disgusting." Have you been in a restaurant and they bring out the fork and you're like, "Ooh, that's suspect." They bring out the glass. "Ooh, that's suspect." You've done that kind of thing. You say, "Well, I don't want that vessel. I want to change it for something that looks clean." Let me say this to all of us. We're representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a lot that's going on in society today that's reflective of their father, the devil. But it is ever so tragic that we as believers, when we claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we claim to be chosen, that we're not living very clean. When I look out amongst church people, and I'll go a step further, Christian people, I ought to see the best of the world of husbands, and the best of the world of wives, and the best of the world of young people, and students, and teachers, and employers, and employees. Why? Because we ought to have the desire to be a clean vessel. A clean vessel. Jesus reflected on the nature of the Pharisees in his day, and he said in Luke chapter 11 and verse number 39, he says, "The Pharisees may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but inward part is full of ravening and wickedness." That ought not to be in our lives. We ought to have a distinctive desire in our heart that says, "Lord, I'm not perfect, but I surely want to represent you to the best of my ability." If I were to represent you, and I were going to an important meeting to be representative on your behalf, would you want me to do it just getting up out of bed? The hair disheveled? You say, "Well, Pastor, your hair is never disheveled." I know that. I know that. Would you want me to do it as though I was just getting out of bed? And I got crusties all over the face, and I haven't brushed my teeth, and my socks are mismatched, and I got on my sweatpants and a holy t-shirt, and I don't mean a right godly t-shirt in saying that. Is that how you'd want me to represent you? No, you'd say, hey, I want you to clean up. Let's do what's necessary because you're going to be representing me. If I'm going to represent you with great clarity and great discernment and great wisdom, how much more should I represent the God of the universe? And I ought to be a clean vessel. Let me challenge you in this area. In Galatians, you can write this down and go and discuss or meditate upon it in your own personal devotions this week. But Galatians chapter 5 gives us a significant contrast between the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, the Bible details for us exactly what is found in the works of the flesh. But I want to focus in on the fruits of the Spirit. This is not about what you and I can work up. This is what could be accomplished if God is working through us. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, in verses 22 to 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now let me just ask you very quickly, does our world desperately need more vessels of love in this day and age? It absolutely does. Does our world today need more vessels of joy? It absolutely does. Does our world need vessels of peace? It absolutely does. And I could go through each of these, and I think you'd be in agreement with me. But my point to all of us today is that God has chosen us to be vessels that are clean, that He might use us in a world that stands in desperate need, in a world that's in great darkness. I believe that God has called us to be chosen vessels. He's called us to be clean vessels, to depart from iniquity, to be vessels unto honor instead of unto dishonor. And then there's a third thing, and I want you to see this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'll try to read the right verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. I believe that we are chosen vessels. I believe that God desires for us to be clean vessels. Vessels for love, vessels for joy, peace, long-suffering. But number 3, it is my heart's desire that we would be controlled vessels. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, I want you to see a couple of key phrases that are here. The Bible says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. Is that accurate in 2022 as a believer? Yes. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. All these things are factors, and it's ripped from the headlines of 2022. In verse number 10, the Bible says this, always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus. Look at this. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That is incredible. Let me take you back real quick to Acts chapter 1. The death, burial, and resurrection have all occurred. Some 40 days has passed, and the Lord has interacted with the apostles and with His other disciples. And He gathers them there on the mount, and He ascends up into heaven. The angelic beings come and they look at these disciples that are gazing up into heaven. They say, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven. This same Jesus will come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. So Jesus and His physical presence has departed. As we travel through the coming days, and as the gospel is spread, and more people listen to the truth and saving grace of Jesus, the enemies of Christ start looking at one person after another, and they start saying this, "There goes that little Christian." Yeah, there he goes. There goes that little Christian. Oh, they're in the workplace. Oh, that Christian. In the schoolhouse. Oh, there goes that little Christian. In the streets, in the neighborhood. Oh, there goes that little Christian. That name Christian was not a name of endearment, but a name of derision. And what they were saying is this: there goes that little representation of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you and I have the Bible, and we can see exactly what the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was like while He was here on this earth through the accounts of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the Bible says He ascended up into heaven. He rose from the grave and ascends up into heaven. And He's left little images, not made with hands, but made by Almighty God. And here's the point. You and I are chosen. You and I ought to be clean. We'll never be sinless this side of heaven, but we ought to sin less. And we ought to be completely controlled by the Master's, for the Master's use. A controlled vessel. Well, I tell you what, if I'm under the control of Almighty God, it's going to govern my actions. It's going to govern my reactions. It's going to govern how I respond to my spouse. It's going to govern how I respond to my children. It's going to govern how I respond to my parents. What does the Bible say here, verse number 7? Did you catch it? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And then He says in verse number 10, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Wouldn't it be amazing if you and I walked through the grocery store and someone said, "Well, I tell you what, I think there goes a Christian." You walk through the workplace. Oh, there goes a Christian. A little representation of what the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was really like when He was here on this earth. You know, we often reflect on the nature of the church house. And we say often that it seems like when the world moves, the church is moving right behind it. And that, my friend, is tragic. Because we as believers should not be reflective of the philosophies and the accounts that are known in the world. We ought to be reflective of the power of God and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we say and do should be controlled by Him. So let me ask you about your life. And as we consider this coming year, and we consider our theme for the coming year, what kind of vessel are you? What kind of vessel are you? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you been born again? Have you been brought into the family of God? Perhaps this morning you're still trusting religion. You're still trusting your own righteousness. Perhaps you're still trusting your own riches in order to get you to heaven. The Bible says that you can be a chosen vessel. Meet Jesus Christ in salvation. Meet His desire for your life and service. Would you today commit anew to being a clean vessel? I'm monitoring what goes out of my mouth. I'm monitoring what goes into my eye gate. I'm monitoring what goes into my ear gate. I'm monitoring where my feet go and what my hands do. Why? Because I want to be a clean vessel fit for the Master's use. Boy, I'd sure like the world to know. I'd sure desire that the world knows, not by what I tell them, but by the way I live my life, that, hey, there goes a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, that person right there is the kind of husband that I want to be. That person right there is the kind of wife that one should be. Boy, those young people, they surely reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a difference in the way that they're living their life. Something else is in control of their life. Maybe you've seen the bumper stickers that say, God is my co-pilot. Can I tell you? You need to scrap the bumper sticker. There's nothing co about God's control in your life. Just say to God, God, you take the wheel. And wherever you want my life to go, I'm willing for you to be in control. Vessels fit for the Master's use. My desire is that FBT be full of not only chosen vessels, but vessels that desire to be clean, vessels that desire to be under the control of the Master. Let's pray.